Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four clever, exciting, and talented players of the game. And seated on my left, we have the most talented, Oxford's answer to comedy and poetry, that is Pam Ayres. And seated beside Pam, we have one of our most experienced and clever players of the game, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that engaging, delightful comedian who's now become a very clever ballroom dancer, Julian Clary. And beside him, another amazing, talented comedian and also comedy writer, that is Tony Hawkes. And would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Sitting beside me is Janice Staplehurst. She has a stopwatch in her hand. She'll help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have expired. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent and very large new theatre in that city of dreaming spires, Oxford. And we have a dreaming but not expiring audience from Oxford, and they're just dying for the show to get started. So let's begin with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the subject is the person I look up to most. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The person I look up to most, well, it's worth saying at this point, it's not an easy task to chair a show like this, to sit in the middle of a group of people trying to talk for a minute, and if ever we find someone who can do that competently, I will look up to them a great deal. If I come on this show, very often I look up to Stephen Fry, because he's 6'5" or 6", I think, and I will always...
Julian challenged.
Repetition of 6.
Correct.
That's right. Yes. You did. Well done, Julian. Well, listen. Julian had to have a correct challenge. He gets a point for that, of course. He takes over the subject. There are 35 seconds available, Julian. The subject, the person I look up to most, starting now.
Well, I'm quite big for my size, so there's no one in particular that I look up to. But I do wander the streets looking for men on ladders. And then I cast my eyes up and I go, yoo-hoo, I'm looking.
Clement challenged.
I'm sorry. Yoo-hoo sounded sort of repetitive.
Yes. It sounded repetitive, doesn't it? It wasn't woo-woo, it was woo-hoo. Yeah, so, Clement, it was an incorrect challenge. So, Julian has another point. He keeps the subject. He has 24 seconds. The person I look up to most, starting now.
Being a Catholic, of course, the Pope is also someone that I admire greatly as a moral leader, although on some areas of my life I find it very confusing that we are not in alignment, if you know what I'm saying, if you catch my drift.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, well, you haven't won many friends with the challenge, Clement.
No.
But he did say you more than twice, so...
He said you-hoo, and then he said you.
Clement, you have got in with 9 seconds to go. A point to you and the subject, the person I look up to most, starting now.
The person I look up to most, or, as I would put it, the person to whom I most look up. Although, dramatically, this may not be...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud then. He has 2 points, so has Julian Clary. The other two have yet to acquire any. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is... Oh, I don't know why this has been chosen for you. My favourite dance. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, of course, dancing is my life since my recent success on the BBC One series Strictly Come Dancing.
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of B.
B-B.
We're getting too pedantic now.
All right, well, I just wanted to just show how picky I could be.
Yes.
But I'd like to wave it, because I want to hear what he's going to say on this.
Yes, that's right.
So can I pass, wave?
You can wave and you can pass, and I won't give you any bonus points.
Okay,
So my favourite dance is still with Julian, no points scored, 54 seconds, starting now.
When I take to the floor with my dance partner, Erin Bogue, we may take the quick step, we may do the tango, the paso doble, or I'm particularly famous for my jive.
But, Tony challenge.
Did he hesitate?
He did hesitate, yes.
I was inhaling, but
anyway. Yeah. you thought about your jive and it suddenly...
I think he was waiting for a huge round of applause. It tragically didn't materialise.
How do you know what I was waiting for?
Get
Tony, a correct challenge. 41 seconds still available. The subject, my favourite dance, starting now.
My favourite dance is done by 40-plus blokes at weddings who've drunk too much, and they just do a jig from one side to another and think that's enough to please everybody. And they also imagine that it might be enormously attractive to the women who have gone to this event as well. And they pursue it for hours.
Clement Challenge.
3 days.
There were 3 days, yes. So he let the two go, but he came in on the third. Clement, 21 seconds, my favourite dance, starting now.
I think the Sir Roger de Coverley is the longest dance. Not my favourite, which has got to be the polka, or the Charleston. I'm particularly keen on dances that come from South America. All parts, Brazil, Argentina, Nicaragua, Peru... You name it, I have...
So Clement Freud was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's now naturally in the lead ahead of Julian Clary, Tony Hawkes and Pam Ayres. And so, Pam Ayres, I think it's time we heard from you, and we would like to take the next subject, and something which I'm sure is close to your heart, chickens. Will you tell us something about chickens in this game, starting now?
I have kept chickens since I was 8 years old, and my favourite hen is called Dorcas and is a Dorking fowl, a breed introduced to this country by the Romans and distinguished by the fact that it has 5 toes instead of the normal 4. This would no doubt be a great impediment to the bird had it wanted to take up tap dancing. But when it comes to kicking up a storm in the farmyard, it is dynamite. Now, a seriously tragic thing happened to her because she was attacked by a terrier of the Jack Russell type and was found in the garden flat on her back, twitching. Yes. Upon closer investigation, I found great wounds gouged out of the flesh adjacent to the spine, and not wishing to part with my dear friend, I produced my healing hands and puffed.
Well, that was magnificent. Pam, who's only played the game twice before, has returned in triumph and started with the subject, finished with it, wasn't interrupted, no hesitation, repetition or deviation. So you get a point because you weren't interrupted, and you get a bonus point for that and a point for speaking when the whistle went. So you're in a strong third place at the moment. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, very topical, the Oxford Union. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The Oxford Union, as opposed... to the Union at Cambridge, let alone at Edinburgh, Glasgow, St Andrews, Perth, Plymouth, Exeter, Shaftesbury, Bath, is a place where, if you are lucky, you will sit, have coffee, and be offered a job by the Milk Marketing Board.
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of you.
Yes. You've got him back at his own game. Well done, Julian. So you've got a point for that. Correct challenge. 39 seconds are available still. The Oxford Union, starting now.
I've very little knowledge about the Oxford Union. It conjures up a vision of posh students sitting around drinking martinis, which may be completely wrong. Are they really unified? That's what I'd like to know. I suppose they have a membership card, which they have in their blazer pocket, or their grubby jeans that they never see a washing machine, but I don't really know for sure. When I was a student at Goldsmiths University in London, I had a card, of course. I had several cards.
And Tony Challenge.
Repetition of card?
Indeed. Yes, there was a repetition of card. All the fingers went on buzzers. Tony's went fractionally earlier. His night came on, and it tells me you've got the subject. 14 seconds. The Oxford Union, Tony, starting now.
I wonder if the Oxford Union ever goes on strike. Because they ought to, and I'd like to see it happen. It's also quite an honour to be asked to go and speak to them, so I'm told. Clinton went and did it, but I've never got a call, and I sit by the...
Tony Hawkes speaking as it was a win, gained an extra point, and others in the round now. He's coming up. Oh, he's in third place, but... And Julian and Clement are just in the lead. Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject... erudite subject for Oxford. Speaking Latin. Tell us something about speaking Latin, starting now.
Absque labore nihil in toto ad infinitum sed etiam non solum. I could speak possibly for the whole minute in Latin. Such is the ability and the scholarly nature of my mind. But I often wonder, why did they teach this subject at school and drive it down our necks when it's very difficult to find other people who know the Latin for how much are those donuts? When you're in the bread shop, that's what you need to know, not how Hannibal crossed the Alps and...
Pam challenge.
Repetition of how.
Yes, how and no. Well done, yes. Pam, well listened. So you have the subject, Pam, of speaking Latin. You have another point. There are 26 seconds available starting now.
When I went to Australia, I might as well have been speaking Latin for all the luck I had in making people understand me. This is because I have an accent from the Vale of the White Horse, which is where I come...
Clement challenge.
Surely not.
What are you doing on those occasions? Because people enjoyed Clement's interruption. We give him a bonus point for that. But Pam was interrupted, so she gets a point for that. She keeps the subject, speaking Latin, and there are 11 seconds starting now.
But I wish I could speak Latin and understand it, because then I think you have the key to unravelling baffling words, because you...
Clement challenged.
Repetition because. Oh,
yes, there was a two becauses there, yes. audience, those are the rules of the game. Clement got in first, and he's got only half a second.
Oh.
Well, that wasn't popular, but those are the rules of the game. Speaking Latin, Clement, starting now.
Yes, someone...
So, Clement, with that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Pam, your turn to begin. The subject, taking the first step. Tell us something about that. This subject in this game, starting now.
Taking...
Clement challenged.
Hesitation.
It was hesitation, wasn't it? But I think, Clement, as Pam's only played the game twice before and you played it for 38 years, I think on this occasion, I give you a point because it was a correct challenge, but Pam gets a point because she was interrupted.
Thank you very much indeed. Not at all. I was just taking a deep breath and filling up the lungs so right. I could have a good go at it.
There's a technique in this game is to fill the lungs as I pause before I say, starting... Now.
It's very difficult taking the first step if you have any of the disorders to which the foot is prone. These include athlete's foot, bunions, corns, calluses.
Tony challenged.
Repetition of foot.
There are too many feet.
Oh,
foot,
blow.
Foot, foot,
oh,
yes.
Right.
No, yes. And Tony, another point to you. 47 seconds still available. Taking the first step, starting now.
This is one stall spare. No one's challenged. I'll
no one's challenged. Keep going.
Clearly,
yes.
There was a hesitation, but no one wants to know about it.
Julian has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes.
It was like everyone had just lost interest.
No, no. They couldn't believe you'd actually got that quotation back to front.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking I was going to have to repeat one to do it properly, and I panicked.
You panicked, yes. Right. But... It doesn't do to panic. Right. Julian, you didn't panic. You got in 40 seconds, taking the first step, starting now.
I assume this phrase is some kind of euphemism for bravery. If you take the first step, then the second, third, fourth, and so on will be that much easier. I've never used the phrase in my own particular day-to-night life.
Pam, your challenge.
A hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. He was looking for another step and slipped up. Right. 25 seconds. Taking the first step. Back with you, Pam, starting now.
Fallen arches, verrucas, and excess pronation. All of these conditions, of course, can be tackled by a qualified chiropodist wielding a scalpel who can whittle away at afflicted regions of the digits, or, as they say in France, les orteils. But this is...
Well, Well, Pam Ayres, speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and she really has leapt forward. Now she's only 1 point behind our leader, Clement Freud. And, Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, how to behave when you're stuck in a lift. 60 seconds starting now.
I've never quite understood how one behaved when stuck in a lift. I think it depends almost entirely on who else is occupying that lift. If there are a lot of people, then surely one of them must become the leader and say, give me your food and drink and I will ration it out. But otherwise, you introduce yourself. If there's only one person, you undress. I mean, there are all many...
Julian, challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was. I mean, I know we have to go through our laughs in this show, and Clement did actually hesitate for once, even though he had a good laugh. 32 seconds, Julian, with you on how to behave when you're stuck in a lift, starting now.
How to behave when you're stuck in a lift is an unknown quantity. I've never had that experience, but I should think the same rules apply as in any other walk of life. Best not to scream and shout, because you'll then be using up the oxygen, which is not in anyone's interests, because we've all got to share the facilities. What, I wonder, do you do if you feel a call of nature coming? Do you ask your fellow passengers to turn around, avert their eyes, and ignore the fact? Do you get out a little handkerchief and make a little nest, perhaps? I just don't know, but these things...
I'm still laughing at the image you created there, Julian. And you were speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. You're equal in second place with Pam Ayres, one behind Clement and one ahead of Tony Hawks. And, Tony, your turn to begin. The subject now, hypochondriacs. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
We were hoping to have a group of hypochondriacs in the audience tonight, but they were too ill to get here. But I am not a hypochondriac myself, unlike figures... It's similar to Woody Allen, who in his films is nearly always thinking he's got a brain tumour or something like that at the beginning. And I have a friend who believes that the French are hypochondriacs, because he says in all the city centres you will see hundreds of pharmacies. And this is true, in fact. And so perhaps these people from France are indeed. And if they're listening, because Nicholas always goes on about how people listen from all over the world to this programme, perhaps they'll write in and tell us if their arms aren't hurting too much from those wrist strains that they clearly get from throwing boule, as they do at the weekend, or baton, because it's sometimes called. I never expected to go this long. What a turn-up.
Clement, you're challenged.
He repeated always quite a long time ago, but I let him go on.
He did repeat always, but he let you go.
I wish you'd challenged me then, to be honest.
No, he waited. There were 8 seconds left, and he's got in on hypochondriacs, Clement, starting now.
If you are a hypochondriac, you have a morbid interest in your own health, and avoid doctors if you possibly can.
Clement was again speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead slightly at the end of the round. And Julian Clary, we're back with you to begin. The subject now is the owl. Tell us something about the owl, starting now.
I know for a fact that the owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. My knowledge, apart from that particular poem, is very limited. I think they glide around in the countryside eating rodents. They've got very big eyes. There's the tawny variety, or you might see a snowy one. I believe their feathers come out in that particular colour only if they're in the right environment, where that particular feature is.
Tony challenged.
Repetition of particular.
Yeah, particular. Yes,
yes. Particular.
Too particular, yeah. Though. Right, Tony.
It's a shame, though, because we were learning so much about the owl.
Well, you were teaching a lot about Latin. I mean, it's a very erudite show. Right, 35 seconds. The owl, with you, Tony, starting now.
Like Julian, I share very little knowledge on the subject of the owl, except it does like to stand on a branch and look down at fish. When it's fishing, obviously, it would be a foolish thing to do if it was trying to jog or perhaps make a cup of tea, which they don't do anyway, but it filled 7 valuable seconds from my point of view. The owl, the tawny kind, are obviously that colour. The person that...
Clement Challenge.
Why, obviously. Explain.
The what?
Explain.
Well...
But I don't think it's your position to ask one of the players to explain what they were talking about. Either challenge for hesitation, repetition, or deviation.
Ah.
Ah. Oh. but to me it was obvious why he said it. Yeah. And isn't that sufficient?
So
yes,
you're right.
Look, have you a challenge from the rules just a minute?
No, not if it's obvious to you.
So, no, I think it was perfectly all right. So you have the subject still. Another point for an incorrect challenge. 11 seconds the hour with you, Tony, starting now.
I once went on a night safari when I was in India, near Kerala, and it was fantastic because we did see an owl. And my goodness, what an impression it made on all of us. We were...
So Tony got extra points and has moved forward. It's all neck and neck. They're all very, very close. And Pam Ayres is back with you to begin. The subject now, keeping fit. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I have had it with keeping fit. I have joined many gyms and slogged away.
Julian challenged you.
I'm afraid we had two halves.
Yes, I have had.
Oh, blow.
Yes. Yes, and Clement challenge as well.
Two blows.
You can't have too many of those.
Julian, the correct challenge, 54 seconds, keeping fit, starting now.
Keeping fit is all the rage, but you don't have to go to a gym, which is very boring indeed. Ballroom dancing is an ideal method. You hop around the dance floor, you work up quite a sweat. It's cardiovascular in more ways than one. Or you might just choose to walk the dog, which has been my particular method of keeping fit for many years now. Also, housework, you see. Don't forget the day-to-day chores that you do going...
Tony challenge.
Repetition of day.
Day to day.
Day to day. Yes. Don't look so pleased with yourself.
Sorry. Sorry.
29 seconds, Tony.
Oh.
Keeping starting now.
I've never quite understood why people drive to gyms, get out, and then get on a machine where they work.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of get.
Get out, get jeans, yes. So, 23 seconds with you, Clement. Keeping fit, starting now.
Schools are very keen on one being fit. They said what you usually do in bed is incredibly bad for you and causes you to lose your sight. But most people I know are just deeply...
Pam challenged.
Hesitation?
No, it wasn't hesitation. It was me who was looking at the audience in shock. Julian, you challenged as well.
Was it deviation?
I think it was, but not within the rules of just a minute. And he didn't hesitate, which was the first challenge. So, Clement, you have another point, and you keep the subject of keeping fit. And there are 9 seconds starting now.
I've never since trusted people who had poor eyesight. I don't know whether it's just me, but gymnasia are places I like to go to a lot.
Right, so Clement Foy was speaking as a whistle. Wen gained an extra point. He's increased his lead slightly. You're 4 ahead of Tony Hawkes, 5 ahead of Julian Clary, and 6 ahead of Pam Ayres. That's the situation as we move into the final round. And actually, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is eccentricity. Tell us something about that delightful subject in this game.
Sorry, could you say the word again?
Yes. Eccentricity. It's the quality.
How are you spelling that?
It's the quality of being eccentric.
Ah.
Are you spelling it with S's or C's?
Do you pronounce it eccentricity then?
Well, I pronounce it eccentricity.
Eccentricity.
Yeah.
Well, it depends whether you're Scottish or not.
Educated
in Scotland or not.
We've got 1,800 Scotland, people here. We've got 1,800 people here. Let's put it to them.
Right.
Hands up if you say eccentricity. Not looking good for you, Nicholas, is it?
If we were doing this show in Glasgow now, all the hands would go up. Because
yes,
I know
yes.
When I was educated up there, we used to talk about eccentricity. It was, no, I'm sorry, you want the English pronunciation, I'm not completely anglicised yet. So, eccentricity, or for those people listening abroad in China and India and all the other countries who take the show, some people over here do pronounce it eccentricity, but it's usually eccentricity. And that's what they want on the show. And Clement has a subject, 60 seconds, starting now.
The town of Essen in the Ruhr district has its own generating facility, which is called eccentricity. And people quite often mix it up with eccentricity, which is being off-centre, literally, Whereas it is...
Tony challenged.
Was there hesitation?
There was. It was an actual he put in there. So that's without doubt hesitation. And 36 seconds for you on eccentricity. You can take the pronunciation whichever way you like.
That.
What's that?
I wish I'd had eccentricity.
I gave you both, Clement, but I must say your remark was well received, so we give you a bonus point. And you have a point, Chris. You've got a correct challenge, Tony. Get the subject. 36 seconds starting now.
In a way, we all have to display eccentricity on this show, or we can't get through the minute because we've landed in the deep end with something we don't know we're going to get with 1 minute to talk about it. And we have to ramble about stuff we wouldn't normally cover, like eggs. I'm not going to do that now, but if I was, I would... Oh, I can't.
So, Pam, you challenge first.
Well, deviation.
Yes, everything. And hesitation,
off.
Yes.
Everything. Poor quality.
So you have 18 seconds, Pam. You tell us something about eccentricity in this game, starting now.
Near my home, there's a pub. Actually, quite near... Oh, damn.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Right. Tony, you challenge.
Repetition of near, I think.
Yes, there was a repetition of near, right. 13 seconds eccentricity with you, Tony, starting now.
I have had an eccentricity generator put in my front room. And all sorts of funny people have started coming in through the front door since I've had it. The guys who want to go to the...
Julian challenge.
We had two hads.
Yes, two hads. So we're hearing from everybody on this last round. And Julian, you got him with 2 seconds ago. Eccentricity, starting now.
Eccentricity is a national characteristic.
So Julian was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. An interesting situation as at the end of the contest here, if you can call it a contest, it's the fun we have. But everybody scored a lot of points. Pam only just finished in a magnificent fourth place. She was only 1 point behind Julian Clary, brilliant third place. He was only 1 point behind Tony Hawkes, fantastic second place. But out in the lead, a few points ahead, was Clement Freud. We say, Clement, you're the winner this week. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Pam Ayres, Julian Clary, Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown her whistle with such panache whenever the 60 seconds elapsed. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We are grateful to our producer, who is Claire Jones, and we're also very grateful to this lovely audience in the New Theatre, Oxford, who's cheered us on our way. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.